And for me, we have to lead with empathy. We have to lead with empathy. And that, for me, is what's not happening, right? We're not leading. And when you have people running around who are not valuing empathy and loading up on guns instead, we're in the wrong, that's not heading in the right direction. It's just not.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What up, Jason?
Marcus, how you doing, brother? How you doing?
Stop, Marcus. Stop.
It's crazy times. Tell me what's going on.
Well, before we get into all that, it's release week.
It is. So, oh, hell yeah.
So this is, but life is so sort of, there. I think from 20 what we learned, it's so many things going on at the same time, good and bad, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm super excited. You know, I'm in Miami, the restaurant is doing well, we're coming slowly out of COVID, and then boom, you get hit with these like 4, 5, 6, 7 things at the same time, right? You launching a new single and you're pushing that, and then boom, mm-hmm. You know, something else. So
yeah, actually, while we were recording, you know, right after we did our DMX episode, after that happened abruptly, then we find out about Dante Wright and now Adam Toledo. And it's like, I'm over here in Sweden and trying to keep up with what's going on in the States. But it feels like just the top just blew off the powder keg again, you know?
Jason, for me, as a citizen, as a black man, it's you wake up with this weight on your shoulders that you just don't, it's like a filter and a cape that you put on that you just don't want to put on every day, right? And I don't know if I think it's a combination. First of all, through social media, things are getting reported today. So this happened all the time before, back in the day, right? They just didn't get reported before. So this Dante Wright thing, that is horrible. But we all know that has happened so many times before. The only difference now is that it's getting recorded through video and through social media, and it gets broadcasted that way, right? But it's so much. And even since that, you talk about Dante Wright, you talk, and then Adam Toledo, 13-year-old boy, man. Jason, think about that. And then,
That's since, Tamir Rice was in 2013, if I'm not wrong, also 13 years old, that the dehumanization of BIPOC bodies is at the level where even a child can be murdered by the state and, you know, with impunity.
No, but it's also with the system, right? So facts are that 8 minutes after Adam Toledo's death, there is a call going out on the radio by police officers were instructed to turn off their body cams, right?
Well, just a reminder, any units on the scene here, 24th and Sawyer, to turn off body cams, please.
For the units that are...
this is not a single event, right? This is something that happens, and then you get a call out, okay, officers, turn off your body cam. Why would you turn off your body cams, right? So it's not, do you know what I mean? This is not just a single event.
And then, of course, it's almost like the universe is really trying to tell us something, because Dante Wright is shot and killed in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, while the Derek Chauvin trial is just wrapping up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I mean, I wonder really if, even if Derek Chauvin is found guilty, if it isn't so that the system will see this and say, well, this is evidence of the system working. He was guilty of murder, and now he is he's going to serve his punishment for that, and now we can move on. I'm wondering even if a guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial will actually lead to, you know, the reform of policing in America, or anywhere else for that matter. And of course, we know from experience that he may not be found guilty, because that's happened so many times before.
Well, there's a couple of things that I want to sort of say to that. as a person that's raising a black son, all of these petty crimes makes me, all these petty ideas makes me so nervous, because as humans, we all make mistakes, right? You know, we've all been in a car that has an air freshener in it. We've all, you know, as a teenager, as a person, I'm flawed. We make petty mistakes, small things all the time. But for black and brown boys, majorly, the price we have to pay for this, it just doesn't match. It's just what we're putting into it. It's just very, very unfair. So as a parent, you walk around constantly, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my son? And it's a fear, and it's this extra layer that you walk around with. And I don't want to walk around paranoid and upset every day, right? So that's one part. And as you talk about the universe is telling us and teaching us things, I mean, on a human level, I mean, first of all, I worked a lot in Minneapolis, and, you know, the black community in Minneapolis, it's almost like a village. And what points to that, the larger Minneapolis area, points to that is, you know, Dante Wright's teacher in school was George Floyd's girlfriend. I mean, think about that. That's like when you come into the village mentality. So yes, this moment is teaching us many things.
Then when you think about the statistics then being, is it 1 out of 10? Is it 1 out of 100? You then have this connection between, you know, Dante Wright and George Floyd only being 1 degree removed from each other. Mm-hmm. It's just tragic. What would you say, how's the reaction been as far as you can tell?
Well, you know, so on top of this, we have the shooting at FedEx in Indianapolis. Mm. And for me, it's also like we're on the wrong side of right when it comes to America's history with guns, right? And in everything else, we always try to evolve. We try to fix things, right? If you work for a tech company, your iPhone is not the same one as when it came out 2006. I mean, the difference between, for example, when someone says, I didn't know the difference between a taser and a gun, right? If you've been...
Okay, so let's back up. Let's back up and give the background on that.
Yeah, I mean, what we hear is that the officer obviously didn't know the first narrative was that it was an honest mistake, that the officer didn't know that she shot Dante Wright shot him with a taser gun, but she actually shot him with a real gun. I mean, it's almost impossible to think that a taser gun and a regular gun is the same. First of all, the handle is huge different. Right? It's a big, when you have a taser gun, it's cut off. The handle is cut off, right? And then on top of that, when you shoot with a taser, there's actually a point that comes out, sort of this electric point that comes out, almost the way when you play this laser that comes out. So you would know, as a holder of a taser gun, you would know if you point at somebody, this is a laser that comes out. So it can't happen. These are not coincidence. This is something that it's an improved version, right? And America's relationship with guns is just, the laws has to change. And for me, it's like, how many lives do we have to lose until the laws are changing? And it's repetitious, right? There's really twofold. One is this mass murdering assault on young black men. That's one, and it's a different category. And two are these mass shootings that are happening every year, right? And we know the script. People's going to come out. People's going to say it's horrible. And then nothing's going to get done about it, right? Whether it's Sandy Hook or you can go down the list, right? But this has to change. And so for me, it's a matter of hopelessness in both of these, right? I choose to live in America and I love America for so many different things, but I am raising a black son. So the first issue there makes me constantly nervous and it never escapes this idea. What if Zion does a petty thing? What happens if he goes into the deli and does the wrong thing for something, you know, when he's 11, 12? Rather the way I got reprimanded by my aunties and my uncles, was like, don't do that again, and you get a lesson. Here, it could be Zion's life.
Exactly.
You know, and then to the other point about, you know, Americans love or relationship, half of America's love or relationship with guns, there's basically more guns and weapons in America than there are people at this point. This has to change. It just has to change.
And also, it's a painful reminder of the history of police in the United States of killing black and brown boys. I mean, I think of the Harlem riot of 1964, you know, after the murder of 15-year-old boy James Powell. I remember my dad used to tell me when I was a kid about a boy in Harlem who was 10 years old and was shot by police for stealing an apple.
Yep.
You know, and he used to always have that as kind of a, you know, similar to maybe a conversation you and Zion would be having. It's like, you have to be careful because you could be doing something that you're doing as a joke or a prank or something, like you say, petty, and it could cost you your life. And this then being a part of transgenerationally being a part of how we equip our children and how we ourselves are equipped with this, the knowledge that this could happen. You know, you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, or, you know, or just stay away from police because you never know, you know.
But part of growing up is, Jason, is that you are making, every day is a new opportunity to make mistakes, especially as a child. We do them as adults as well. But trust me, how many things I did wrong in my upbringing, and I had aunties and uncles in the neighborhood and my parents to guide me, sometimes really harsh, most of the time, but always with love, right? And if I wouldn't have, how would I ever learn if I didn't do this more? So you're going to tell me that, oh, I'm stopping this person because they have air fresheners in the window. That's not even, that's nothing, Jason. That's nothing.
So Marcus, what are you hearing from people in Harlem? Have there been protests? Is it calm? Are people out on the streets? Is it demonstrations?
It's all of the above. I mean, and it's also, there is a unity, right? I think actually the Derek Chauvin trial stands for the unity and stands for the broadcasting. But then there's also fatigue. There's just a mental, like, we're still in COVID, right? People are hurting with or without this trial, with or without the Donta Wright case. This is a very tough times, right? And then you add this layer on top of it. And, you know, when you get stereotyped as the angry black man, right? That we're not angry black men or angry black woman, but we have to deal with a whole other layer of violence that sometimes come from within our community, but very often are pushed into our community, and also happens when we leave our communities, right? When we, just as we have to go to work or travel, right? And that gets, as you know, it wears on you to constantly be aware, to constantly be on your toes, to constantly be afraid for something petty to happen, to be constantly over-policed. Right. And I think
that's stress.
It's stress.
I mean, that's a stress that is physically and mentally eating at you. And I mean, you know, Marcus, you know, we're both still young, but we've been alive for quite some time now. It's been eating at us just as it has of previous generations and younger generations for a long time. And that stress is not, that's why I say being a BIPOC person on the planet, your experiences are accumulated. They never really, the memories don't disappear. Like each time you're confronted, just reading about something happening in another country can remind you of things that have happened to you and things that you went through or your friends went through or your family members went through. And that all amounts to mental withering, or not mental withering, but mental weathering, you know, it like eats away at you in a way.
But it,
how are you processing this, Marcus? I mean, what are you doing to just stay, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think to talk a little bit more about this, Jason, I think BIPOC is part of it, but I think it's almost like a ladder system. And on the top, if you think about isms and racism, right? The black male is always, not always, but is the one that constantly getting pushed. It gets being put out there as getting the most violence and victimized, right? Mm-hmm, and then there's a layer to this. And I think there's been an important year of talking about blackness and BIPOC and separating the two too, right? We are through very bad experiences, horrible experience, learning more about Asian American experience and
anti-Asian racism.
Exactly, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And each one is different. But if you got to look at through consistent hatred towards, and sometimes been organizations through KKK, and sometimes it's been from government stuff that being put into us, whether it's been drugs or vaccines, and sometimes it's been institutions that we didn't have access to capital, right? And then on top of that, there has been a combination of the two in terms of jail system that has always been sort of against black people the most, right? So all of this has been out there very muddily reported because we didn't have social media before, right? And now when we have social media, and you can say that there's been improvement in most areas, but in terms of police enforcement, there's just resistance on modernizing it, right? And I talk about the human level of this, and I'm going to give you an example, Jason. Last week on social media, there was a fun video. There was a video that showed, and the police now is using AI dogs. They're using robot dogs, right? This has just come out. It's happening in New York City right now, Jason. What does that mean? That means that there were people who were open within the department to improve the system, right? And you're going to get to a more technology-based system. So if that's happened when it comes to technology, why can't that happen on a human level, right? Mm-hmm. And when people say demolish the police or change the police, we have to improve it.
Or defund
the police, right? Mm-hmm. We have to. It also means we have to improve it. And the way we look at black men, we have to have a completely different lens. We have to humanize that experience and understand how we de-escalate that experience. I can't tell you how many videos, like there's another video out there right now that's going viral in Minnesota of a white man driving away from the cops with a police officer hanging on to his door, right? He's gonna.
And that man's probably still alive.
Of course
alive
he is.
Today.
Of course he is.
Of course he's still alive. And I mean, I saw footage of this guy walking in a neighborhood in South Carolina, and a white resident coming up and telling him to get the fuck out of the neighborhood because he didn't belong there. Just extremely telling of just. And this is a case where somebody didn't die, but it speaks volumes about the attitudes, as you're saying, towards black and specifically black men, but I mean also women, just black bodies in general, we could say, as far as, you know, how inclusion or exclusion is working. Like, you are not allowed here. You're not a part of You're not somebody I'll say hello to while I'm standing on my lawn, but you're somebody I'd like to chase out of my neighborhood because you being here is somehow a threat or an offense and this is just a non-lethal confrontation.
Sure.
And then you have all the lethal confrontations too, where somebody dies from this, but it's the same mechanisms at work.
Of course, but there's also the difference between public-private, right? So on the private side, you have all of those things, and those are harder, but equally important to chip away at. But when you think about institutional stuff like the police department, even that robot dog, right? Who trains him? A computer does.
Exactly.
Right? And if that computer is trained.
Who trained the computer?
Who trains the computer? Exactly. So for me, we know that AI is an unfair system towards black men, right? So what is, I would like to know then, okay, great, the New York City Police Department is starting this to improve, but who plugs in the information for AI, for example, right? So you're ending up with an unjust system, even if your intention is to improve it, right? So that's why diversity is important in institutional side and in the private side, right? Mm-hmm. And this is like a tax that we walk around with. This is a tax. It weighs heavier on me, or just as heavy as the environment. You know what I mean? What we do towards the environment. Mm-hmm. I feel I can chip away at the environment in a different way. And I feel actually by opening my restaurant in black and brown communities that I can chip away at the same time at inclusion. Of course, but on top of that, you know, we haven't even started to talk about Lieutenant Caron Osorio. They got pepper sprayed and completely disrespected by the police department.
On the ground now!
Can you please talk to me about what's going on? Why am I being treated like this?
Because you're not cooperating. Get on the ground!
Why am I being treated like this?
He's suing the police officer. The police officer got fired. But again, this was captured on video. But the way he was treated, it's inhuman. The lieutenant was like, what have I done wrong? They said they couldn't see his plate. He was not somebody who's tried to escape. He was actually working with them, saying, hey, I'm going to slow down to a gas station because he wanted to go to a well-lit area. He needed to be in an area which was safe for him.
He was in survival mode, of course.
And being a lieutenant, being in fighting, you know, knowing this stuff, what could happen, and he could not have been more polite. And he was just asking, what have I done wrong? And they were like, hey, you better get out of your car, completely disrespected. And eventually, the police officer tried to do a deal with him, walk up to him on the sly, say, hey, if you don't report this, we can make this go away and we're not going to ruin your career. Because they knew that they screwed up, right? So, this is happening in all places, Jason. You asked me how do I deal with this and where does this go?
How are you processing it, Marcus?
I think that one of the incredible magics and the blessings of being black is that I want to connect it back to Africa, where on the continent, and black being black means also that you constantly can deal with all of these things that comes with being black, right? There is this incredible level of ingenuity, creativity. That's where the music is different. That's why the art is so different. That's why the storytelling is so different, right? And that's the positive. That's the stuff that you see. That's where I dance. That's where, you know, like it just goes into these things that we push out. Then, for me, I process it through creativity, right? My being with family and creativity, right? But then there is also this whole level that is darker that doesn't really often get talked about, which is the mental health of stuff, right? That's where people need support. That's where it's very hard to explain to people that are not BIPOC and don't fully understand. But it's like an extra level of tax that you walk around with that I thought as a teenager, by the time I'm this age, it would be gone, right? I literally naively thought that this would just improve and we were gone. And I think through social media, it's really been two things out of it. I'm appreciative of the broadcasting so people know, but at the same time, it also adds to the mental health aspect because of social media and your phones. It gets right in front of you. Right? When I was a kid, if I didn't want to pick up the news and I didn't want to watch TV, there was a way to escape it. Today, there's basically zero way to escape it. Right? So that works well on pushing and changing laws, but it also takes on a lot. Right? Like I know tonight that my wife and I will talk about Donta Wright and Zion in the same sentence. Sometimes she doesn't mention it. Mm. Sometimes I don't want to say it. But that's essentially what we're talking about, right? Mm. We will talk about Adam Toledo.
Yeah.
9 years older, 8 years older than Zion. Like that's crazy.
How do you keep your child safe? I mean, even if you raise him well, give him all your love and care, and that it potentially just him leaving his house in the morning could have lethal consequences. It's just a lot to take in. That it's like one thing about your own safety and you could take care of yourself. But when it comes to your child, you know, and how they're going to fare in society and knowing that, well, there's certain things that, you know, we all know there are things you can't control, of course. But this aspect of being a parent in the United States to a black or brown child, it's just painful to you know, to hear you speak on it, and that we're still here, 2021, and you're saying these things. It's not 1941 or 1961 or 1971. 2021, you're still saying these things, and rightfully so, having to take this into your, you know, and the parenthood of your child, you know, or being the parent to your child.
You know, when I was a teenager, I came to the States, and, you know, we stayed with families, and it was a great, great trip, right? The only thing that I remember that I picked up on, besides, you know, coming to the States and being so excited about it, but the family I stayed with, when we left the house, they said something that I've never heard before. And I was like 16 or 17 or whatever, right? They said, every time we left the house, be safe, guys. Be safe, y'all. We were in Dallas, right? I was like, safe? Like, that word of safe, it's just not a line that you said in Sweden.
No.
Like you said.
The only similar thing we have in Sweden is kör försiktigt. Yeah. Drive carefully, because that's a potentially lethal situation. But other than that, just going out on the street is not potentially lethal in Sweden.
Whether you go in to play music with your friends or whether you go to soccer.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't say,
stayed there. They were a host family and we played soccer with their sons. So we were going to soccer practice. So we were going, you know, there was not a lot of different things that we were doing. So basically very simple, you know, just like, you know, just doing our stuff, right? And I picked up on that. I was like, wow, what do you mean safe? What could happen? I mean, we're going to soccer and we're coming right back. Like that was a real, and I remember that. What does she mean? And then, you know, the mom that we stayed with, she was wonderful. And it was just something that I started to hear. And as I've lived in America for 20 years, people, this word of be safe. And now when you live here, you understand, and particularly being, you know, a black, being black on top of it, you understand what that means. Now, during COVID, we said that all the time now, like be safe when you leave the house. That is added another level for all of us, right?
Well, I mean, you know, and again, the system talking, which we've heard in the Derek Chauvin trial, the witnesses for the defense and the police officers that were, you know, witnesses in the defense, not once did they mention the fact that what they said was he had his neck in the wrong place. He had his knee in the wrong part of George Floyd's neck. He had it. He should have taken his knee off when George Floyd stopped resisting. He was kneeling on his neck for too long. But nowhere did anyone say maybe police shouldn't kneel on people's necks. You know, so like maybe what if we try that? Like why? What if we try like at the police themselves saying that, you know, maybe we should look at how we, you know, control people we claim are resisting arrest. And maybe kneeling on their necks is not one of the methods we should be trained or be allowed to use. Because it's, again, it's like the system is trying to excuse itself. And if it can't excuse itself enough, then Derek Chauvin will have to go to jail for some amount of time. And then that will be the receipt of, well, the system works when people don't do what they're told. But it doesn't lead to change of the system, systemic change.
Yeah, but I mean, Jeff, there's a couple of things to this, right? I mean, imagine just on a human level, in what bucket of garbage does the defense have to go and find these experts, right? Hey, Dad, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going to go to Minneapolis and be there, the expert in the Derek Chauvin trial. Oh, for George Floyd? That's awesome. No, for Derek Chauvin. Like, just think about that person that says yes to do that. Like, in what bottom of garbage do we have to find this? I mean, think about that, yeah. Right? This person is most likely a parent. It's most likely, it's a, you know, like, think of it, sure, a highly educated person, right? So you're going to be the person that says, oh, yeah, kneeing on somebody until they die because X, Y, and Z, because of technicality, maybe if I just have to season doubt. That's all it is. It's all about season doubt to that one person, right? I mean, that is the lowest of humanity.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Then I'm just going to read New York Times for you, right? And you talk to me about how does it feel, right? This is just, I just took an image from New York Times. So here's what it says. This is from April 15, One of the police officers who shot Breonna Taylor has landed a book deal.
So if that doesn't add to your mental stress just in reading it, it's like, Marcus.
So it's
not just pebbles on your shoulders. It's whole blocks of stone that are constantly there.
Yeah. And then it's like,
and that's just opening the paper. Maybe you opened the paper because you wanted to read about, you know, I don't know, something else, but you can't escape it. You're confronted with it. Another thought that hit me, Marcus, was that if Derek Chauvin goes to jail, if he's found guilty, which is still unlikely, but he is by some miracle of justice found guilty and goes to jail, he'll be joining the in numbers world's biggest prison population, which the United States has, not by percentage, not by per capita, but it has in real numbers the biggest prison population. The majority of the people in prison in the United States today are there for crimes way less serious than murder.
No, of course. I mean,
you know, or for us to carry that with us. The whole system, from policing to the criminal justice system as a whole, the prison system, the law enforcement system of the United States, is it needs to be torn down and rebuilt. I mean, that's the only conclusion I can reach in this.
Yeah, it's a lot. But for me, just reading that line, 11 o'clock, and just seeing one of the police officers was shot, Breonna Taylor, has landed a book deal.
Now, what the fuck is that book going to be about?
You know how I got away with murder? You know what it's going to be about. And you also know, and here's the point, like, we're dealing with, right? America has always been a country of many tales, of two tales. You have the enormous gains, and then at the same time, you have, and you know, the election showed us there were 70 million people that lined up to vote for Donald Trump. You see it in situation like this. Now, think about that. There is then a publisher that is like excited to benefit out of this. Mm. Clearly, the publisher knows there's an audience for that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So the wheels are in motion here. It just doesn't happen.
The cynicism of it all.
It's crazy. Mm. And then even at the Derek Chauvin trial, right? Let's say he gets convicted. It still doesn't bring back George Floyd. No. Breonna Taylor. There's no win. You have an innocent woman dead. So for me, the whole thing for me is that America's relationship with guns and gun law has to change because it ain't working. If you want to talk about what's working and what's not working, here is one that is not working. How many more people have to die? And when you take that and say more people, that also means black men have to die or black people have to die before we actually got to do something.
I mean, maybe, you know, hopefully, Marcus, we'll look back at this in 3, 5, 10 years and say, well, that's when things got to a critical mass. And it was after that. And because of that, these final straws, that things actually changed for the better. I mean, that's the only that's the only kind of positive thought I can hold moving forward or looking forward. You know, when you and I are walking around with canes and thick glasses.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking in a long time. And Maxime and Zion are running the world. You know, then we'll be able to say, well, we were there when the tide started turning. You know,
I can see Jason over with
remember
a fly
how bad it got.
Yo, your cane's going to be fly though.
Yo, man, if, you know, canes are fly, you know, like, I don't even need to have a bad leg to have a cane. You know, it's like, it's just, it's right now, my hands were full. Otherwise, I might roll with the cane. You know, one thing, I remember I visited my aunt's house a few years ago. She lives in, out in the middle of a field in South Carolina, and she had my grandfather's old cane.
Oh, dope.
And it had, it had blue and red and green, like glass, meant to look like, you know, jewels on it, but made out of glass. And also, you pull the end off the cane, there was a little knife. She was like, oh, yeah, no, your grandfather didn't play around. And he would, he said, you know, if it was kids messing with him, he just, you know, he had the canning. And if anybody, and if there was any more problem with somebody older, then the top would come off. And then, you know, so, yeah.
What do you call that? Because that's a Swiss Army knife cane. So that's a South Carolina cane.
Survival. Yeah, tools, man.
And if you want to open look a fly, bottle of wine.
Look fly, but also protection.
Yeah, exactly. And in the middle section, you can plug your iPhone and, you know, yeah, levels.
You know, and also, it you know, speaking of these things that we're speaking of, you know, and I write about that in my book, you know, my grandmother took her four kids in 1949, sent her four kids, my uncle was only 18 months old, and sent them to Nigeria. And she did this because she didn't believe that they had a future in Harlem. That was the only way she knew that she could protect them. So she sent her kids away. Her being a mother, she would rather be separated from her children, but that they would be someplace where they would at least have the possibility of a future, because that's how little she saw that possibility being feasible in if they were to grow up in Harlem at the time in 1949.
We have to take weeks like this and learn from it at the highest level, on a family level, in society, neighbors, and community. And for me, we have to lead with empathy. We have to lead with empathy. And that, for me, is not happening, right? We're not leading a society at all with empathy. And when you have people running around not valuing empathy and loading up on guns instead, we're in the wrong, that's not heading in the right direction. It's just not.
You know, as always, I value these conversations. Speaking of a place where I go for healing, for inspiration, this moment is one of them. I'm just very grateful for that. In these times, it's extremely meaningful for me personally. And shout us out, you know, send us an email, hit us up on the DMs. You can follow us at This Moment Podcast. You can also email us at thismomentpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you have any suggestions that you think we should talk about, we would happy to take suggestions from the listeners in terms of subjects or experts in the field that we can reach out to. We want this to be a dialogue, and we want to learn and share those stories. And Jason, I can't tell you how much I value this, and I really appreciate us having this moment together. All right? Peace, my brother.
Peace, brother.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.